Peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo, I'm power this morning, man. God is so good, church. He loves us so much, and I'm excited about Jesus. Man, a lot going on. So thankful for all that's going on. And Karis starts this Saturday, by the way, so you still have time to sign up. We had someone this morning say, hey, I'm coming to Karis. So starts this Saturday. See Holly afterwards. She'll be glad to sign you up and take your money. All of it. No, I'm just kidding. No, amen. Actually, it goes right out to Woodland Park, so we don't do anything with that. So, but anyway, see Holly. She will bless you, and you're going to be blessed. And so we're just excited about what Jesus is doing here at Discovery. And God bless you this morning. Why don't you stand this morning, if you would, and turn to Isaiah chapter 60. Going to look at verses 1 through 5, starting off here. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. And I'm just going to continue talking about, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to experience all that He has for us. I would not be the pastor God would want me to be if I only taught you half of the gospel. So God wants me to teach you the full gospel of Jesus Christ, right? So listen to what He says here. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Turn to somebody and say, the light has come. Would you do that? And the glory, we sing about the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the manifestation of the Lord. The manifestation of the Lord is risen upon you. So I really believe He's talking about this last day we're living in here. And that the glory of the Lord, the manifestation of the Lord, is up on the body of Christ today. Especially with the grace movement and all that's going on in the grace movement and how people are receiving grace and God's revival is taking place here. Amen. Then look what He says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. God's going to rise over us because we are the light of the world. Amen. And if you've ever been in a very dark room and all of a sudden lit a match or a light came on or a small light, you're immediately attracted to that light. But the glory will rise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. The manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit, will be seen upon us. Man, that's powerful. Amen. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes. This is speaking of the church, the body of Christ. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. That's a great prophetic word that Holly and I was given one time, amen, about our daughter. So then look at verse 5. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Man, isn't that powerful? I am so thankful for that. Amen. Let's hold up our Bibles this morning and let's say it like we mean it. Come on, say it with Pastor today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn around and give somebody a high five and say, His glory is shining on you today. Hallelujah. Man, this is so powerful because this is really speaking of the last day's church and what we're experiencing and what God desires us to experience. And now that we've come into grace and we have a full understanding of God's grace and God's love for us, I believe this positions us to see the manifestation of God's miracles, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. See, God wants to do miracles in people's lives. And God wants to use us or through us to see those miracles take place. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that allows these miracles to take place. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have the anointing. The Bible says the anointing, that word anointing, is the ability to get results. How many are just longing to see great miracles and results take place? Anybody besides Pastor? Amen. I believe we are living in that day and that time where that is going to take place, even in your own personal life. God doesn't want you lacking in any area of life. God wants the manifestation of the glory of God in your life. God wants the manifestation of the glory of God in your family. God doesn't want your family lacking anywhere or anything. Amen? I mean, he is so good. God wants to bring grace to your family. God wants to bring mercy to your home. God wants to bring forgiveness to your home. God wants to bring reconciliation to your household. Amen? God desires to do this, and that is part of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Man, that was good. I'll say amen to that. Because it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. I want to show you scripture. Look at Isaiah 59:21. Look what the Lord said to us. Look at this promise. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant. Now, a covenant is something that cannot be broken, right? A contract can be broken. A covenant can't be broken, right? This is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth nor from the mouth of your descendants. Somebody needs to grab that right there. Come on. Somebody needs to take that and grab that. Listen, God's promise is not only to you, but to your children. Says the Lord, from this time forevermore. The Spirit is not only promised to us, but it's promised for your generation, for your children, for your descendants, for my grandchildren, amen? The Spirit is there for them today, amen? And God says, my covenant, I'm not going to break my covenant. It's something I'm not going to break. I'm going to put my Spirit upon you. But here's the good news. Not only does God put His Spirit up on us, but now God puts His Spirit in us. Amen. So it's not only up on us, but now it is also in us. Amen. And this is His covenant towards us. Amen. And what's so good about God's covenant and God's grace towards us? There's so many good things, but I want to quickly give you three. And let's go to Romans 11:27 before we do. 11:27. For this is what He said. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So, number one, what I want to share with you, one of the greatest things about God's grace is it's a gift. Everybody say gift. God's grace is a gift to us. And the number one thing I believe that God's gift, God's grace gift to us is the removal of sin. I mean, it just sets you up for eternity. Because when Jesus died, He died for your sin, and He died for all your sin, which is just amazing. And that's what grace is. It is amazing grace, yesterday, today, and forever. And it sets you up to receive all of His blessing. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Oh, my goodness. And so it is a grace gift. Salvation is a grace gift. And he set us up to receive this grace gift. If you've received it. How many have received salvation this morning? You've received probably the greatest gift of all time, salvation. The removal of your sins as far as the east is from the west. It is amazing. That's what the blood of Jesus did. Number two, He removed condemnation. So you don't have to walk under condemnation. Condemnation is a gift. Amen? It's something we receive. Look at Romans 8:1. There's therefore now, right? Now everybody say now. Where is now? Now is in the now. Now is where you are. You are in the now. Whether you know it or not, you are in the now. Now some of you might be in the yesterday and some of you might be in tomorrow, but really, you are now. You're here now. Your mind might be there, but you are physically here now. And He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And if we put up the New American Standard, it's going to be a period because the King James gets it wrong here. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Amen? So you don't have to receive condemnation. It is a gift. Man, that doesn't light your fire, then your wood's wet. Is that what Andrew Womack says? That sounds like one of his, right? Amen? Not only that, not only do we have forgiveness of sin, not only do we have no condemnation, but I've been teaching on this, we have no separation. Look at Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, say it with me, who can be against us? Let that settle in your brain a second. If God is for you, who can be against you, right? Look at the next verse. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things, including his spirit? Freely give us all things. Then look at verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So no one can bring a charge against us because God justified us, right? 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also is risen, who is even at the right hand of God and also makes intercession for us. Then look at verse 35. Who shall separate us? The gift of no separation from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are what? We are what? More than conquerors. Super above conquering through him who loved us. Then look at the next verse. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor the things present, what you might be experiencing right now, nor even the things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created being shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Woo! Man, that is powerful, man. Nothing can separate us. We have the gift of no separation. We have the gift of no condemnation. Amen? And we have the gift of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then look at Isaiah 59:20-21. Let's go back to this again. Look at this. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. So God has promised us to receive not only all these good gifts, but our children and our children's children can receive these gifts as well. What a marvelous promise we have. Turn to somebody and say, don't worry. Say, don't worry about your kids. Come on. Don't worry about your kids. Say, God's got your kids. Now turn to somebody and say, God's got your kids. Amen. Listen, man, you can get so caught up in worrying and trying to care and trying to figure it out. That is not your position. Your position is to pray for them, amen, and let God take care of them. Because God can take care of them much better than you can take care of them by worrying and fretting. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, that was a word for you. All right, let's look. Amen. So the promise of the new covenant is that the Holy Spirit coming up on us and abiding in us is not only for us, but also for our children. And what he told us is in Acts 1:8 that you'd receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The glory of God, the manifestation of God in our life. So I want us to go to Acts for just a moment, and I want us to look at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. This is a marvelous story, so I want us to look at that because there's so many things that we can receive from this. Peter was there, and look at verse 43, Acts 10:43. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there. Acts 10:43. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remissions of sins. Peter's preaching at the house of Cornelius. That's what he stayed. And look at the next verse. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell up on those who heard the word. And it's really interesting because the word fell there is the Greek word for embraced. The Holy Spirit embraced them. It's the same word used over in Luke 15 where it says that the father and the prodigal, where the father ran to the prodigal and he embraced him. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us and in us, he embraces us. He is the comforter, right? I remember, man, when I grew up very, very poor. Anybody else grew up very, very, very poor? I grew up very, 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 very full, very poor. And, you know, my father, I've shared with you before, my father had a third grade education. My mom didn't graduate from high school. And I grew up in a very, very poor home. And so my parents didn't know a lot of things. And I was the first one in my family that graduated from high school. And I almost didn't do that, right? I almost didn't do that. And so, you know, the Lord came into my life right after that. I received the Lord, and I started college. And I went to a small Bible college in Cleveland, Tennessee. It was called Tomlinson College at the time. And, man, you know, they had a dorm, and so I had a roommate there. And so got in there, and one night I was in there, and the dorms were cold. Even in Tennessee, it was cold in the wintertime. They weren't heated too well, and so this guy had this, like, big blanket thing, man, and he pulled it over. I said, man, that is a nice blanket. He said, man, it's not a blanket. And I said, well, what is it? And he says, it's a comforter. A what? I had never heard of a comforter. That's how way back we were, man. I mean, it was like, and he said, Steve, it's a comforter. I said, a what? It's a comforter. It's like a blanket, but, you know, it's a little, you know, my mom made it. You know, she made, you know, and it looks so warm, man. And I said, man, can I steal your comforter, man? He said, no, it's my comforter, right? And I thought, when I heard about that, I thought about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our heart's comforter. Amen. He wants to comfort our heart. He wants to embrace us. Amen. So look at verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed, this was the Jews who believed on Jesus, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. The Jewish church, they thought all of this was just for them. They thought Jesus was just for them. And they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church. But here, at Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit was poured out also on the Gentiles. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad? Praise God for that, man, because that means me and you, right? Praise the Lord. How did they know the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles? How did they know this? Well, look at the next verse. This is how they knew. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, and we can go on, you can read the rest of it, amen? But they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So the initial evidence, not the only evidence, but the initial evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, remember we talked about last week that we've been baptized in Jesus, right? And then that the Holy Spirit baptizes in Jesus, Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. It's a marvelous thing. But they heard them speak with tongues, amen? So the initial evidence, one of the initial evidences is that we speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. And so this is what happened. Look at Acts 2, 1-4. Look real quickly here, Acts 2, 1-4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He said that you have heard of me. So the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. We have the promise of the Father. It's a definite article, and it's referring to a specific promise. A specific promise. Are you with me? God had many promises to Israel in the Old Testament, But they all knew about this specific promise. They knew it from Joel chapter 2, 28, where he said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit up on all flesh. That was the promise that Jesus was referring to here in Acts 1, 4. Amen. It is a specific promise, the promise of the Father. Man, the promise of the Father. Amen. And what is so good? Look at Galatians 3:13 through 14. Stay with me. Amen. Look what it says here. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Man, thank God. Woo! Hallelujah. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So that this, look, that the blessing, look at the next verse, verse 14, that the blessing, everybody say the blessing of Abraham might come up on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the what? Come on, the what? The promise of what? The promise of what? The Spirit, how? Through faith, like everything else is received, that we might receive. That we might receive, amen. The blessing of Abraham has come upon us that we might receive the promise. The blessings of Abraham come through receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Man, it's all through faith. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. And we talked about the word being baptized, being baptizo, which means to be immersed, that God wants us to be immersed. You can have a cup of water, and you can drink a cup of water, but you can go and jump in a swimming pool, and you're immersed, right? There's a vast difference. I remember one Sunday morning, and years ago, we were going to teach or preach somewhere, and back then you wore a complete suit and everything, and our girls were small, and we stayed at some hotel, and it was a beautiful morning, so I took my Bible, and I went out, and I was sitting by the poolside with my Bible, just waiting on them to get ready. Why does it take women so much longer to get ready? Come on, somebody. Amen. What is it? Why is that, man? You know why that is? Because it teaches men to be patient. I'm just saying. Amen. Good answer, Pastor. Amen. So anyway, I'm sitting there. It's a beautiful morning. And here comes this little big guy out, little big kid come out. Me and him were the only one out there, right? And I'm sitting there, and I'm not paying much attention to him. He gets right on the edge of the pool, actually gets on the diving board, and he bounces two times and jumps and does a cannonball. Here I am in my suit, white shirt, tie, looking good with my word, man, and I am drenched, man. This kid drenches me. What happens, man, it's such a great illustration. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, other people can't help but notice and be blessed. It just kind of spills over to other people. Amen? And that's what God does for us. He is so good. He said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Look at Acts 1:5. Look at here. Then John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And then in Acts 1:8, he says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come up on you. You should receive power, and you should be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Everywhere we go, being a witness is greater than just doing the act of witnessing. In all that you say and do, the glory of the Lord will be released because the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. God's Spirit is now dwelling in us. And look what Paul gave instructions to the Corinthian church. He said this, 1 Corinthians 13:1. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So Paul said he spoke with tongues. He spoke with the tongues of men, and he spoke with the tongues of angels. He spoke with the dialect of men, the native language, the Greek language, or the Jewish language. Paul probably knew both. I know, I'm sure he did. But also, he spoke with the tongues of angels, right? And then look at what he said over in 1 Corinthians 14:4. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prays. When we pray in the spirit, we are praying with the spirit and not with our natural mind. Amen? And when you're praying in the spirit, you're praying more effective prayers because your natural mind is out of it and you're just praying in the spirit. And one of the greatest joys you have is when you're praying in the spirit of God, amen, because God is just moving on the inside of your heart and life. You experience it. It's such a blessing. Amen. He said, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. There's a big difference between praying in the spirit and praying in a known tongue, right? And one of the things about it is the enemy is multilingual, but he cannot understand the language of the spirit. Look at Romans 8:26. Likewise, the spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We talked a little bit about this, but the word weakness there is infirmity. The Spirit helps us in our infirmities, in areas in our life where there's an infirmity, where there's a sickness, where there's a weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. We've all been there at that point, right? But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit begins to pray for us, amen? The Spirit helps us in those incidences. Man, thank God for the Holy Spirit in our life. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. God desires you. You have this gift. God desires you utilize this gift. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:4. He said, he who speaks in a tongue edifies whom? Himself. So when we're praying in tongues, we're edifying. The word there means to build up. We're building up ourselves. How many know this morning that in our spirit we are perfect? How many know that? How many know you're perfect? Turn to somebody and say, you're perfect in your spirit. Turn to somebody and say, you look really good in your spirit. Amen. Your spirit is perfect, right? But we have this earth suit and we have this mind that has to be renewed. It's not a one, the salvation is a one-time thing. You are saved, your spirit is sealed, you're perfect, amen? But your soul man, your mind, will, and emotions, you have to allow the spirit and the word to renew to what you've got here. You've got to allow the spirit and the word to renew your mind, to renew your thoughts. Because everything starts with a thought. And when all of a sudden you start renewing your mind to what God tells you in His Word, amen, then this part out here begins to line up with what you got in here. Right? So, but in order to do that, one of the greatest ways to do that is by praying in the Spirit. Because praying in the Spirit edifies your soul realm. Your spirit is already edified. Your spirit, man, isn't going to get any better. It's perfect, right? But this here, this out here, and this up here, through the Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up. Turn to somebody and say, thank you for your enthusiasm. let me show you the scripture, man. This is so good. Look at Jude. Everybody say, hey, Jude. Hey, Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, same words here, edifying, building yourself up in your most holy faith. How many know that in the Spirit we have all the faith we need? How many know that? Come on, get a witness. How many know in the Spirit you have all the faith you need? How many know this? How many know this, that out here sometimes we lack faith? You know why we lack faith? Because we look at it through these natural eyes. And we look at it through these natural eyes and we say, that's impossible. I mean, how can that be? I mean, how can that happen? Because we have a challenge in this earth suit, you know, looking through these natural eyes and hearing through these natural ears, right? So how do we overcome that? Paul gives us the answer. Actually, Jude gives us the answer right here. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you're facing a challenge that out here seems unrealistic, then what you need to do is start praying from in here. And as you pray in here, this out here becomes more positive and expecting and knowing it's going to happen. Knowing it's going to change. When we start praying in the Spirit, these things out here become more, oh man, that's nothing for God. Oh, that's a piece of cake for God. Cancer, that's nothing for God. Amen. Oh, heart problem, that's nothing for God. Mental health issue, that's nothing from God. Raising somebody from the dead, oh, that's a piece of cake. Get up and walk. Why? Because all of a sudden, you know, we've moved from out here to a perspective of what we have in here. And when we have the perspective of what we have in here, we know this stuff out here can be easily overcome. Oh, come on, I'm preaching this morning, amen. And not only that, praying in the Spirit, look at the next verse. Keep yourself in the love of God. You ever want to slap somebody? Come on, anybody ever want to, come on, be honest with me. Has your flesh ever gotten the way that you wanted to really slap someone? Come on, be honest. Come on, raise. Look, I love you. You are such grace people. Amen. I love you guys. Yes, we all have been there, right? How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit keeps you from slapping people. Come on, somebody. It does. Amen. You can't pray in the Spirit and slap somebody at some same time. It's impossible. Amen. But you can in the flesh. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. Man, we have such an arsenal at our disposal. We have so much within us. Praise God. And I know most of you here have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't today, you can. Actually, last Sunday, we had a leadership meeting, and I know Mike won't mind me sharing this. I asked him in the leadership meeting afterwards, I said, hey, has anybody here not prayed in tongues? Has anybody here not experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit? And Mike Shea was honest enough and said, no, I haven't. I want to. I haven't. So I said, well, if you want to, you're going to receive, right? And so we were sitting there, and I said, Mike, just raise your hand up. And I said, we're going to believe. We're going to pray for you. And when we prayed, and I had Holly lay hands on him, and I said, you know, I'm going to count to three and receive. And boom, he received. Woo, he just, boom, he received, right? So it's so easy, and we make things so hard, and it's not so hard. But a lot of times, religion has gotten away and has taught us things, right? Religion says, oh, you know, that ended with the early apostles. Well, if that ended with the early apostles, so does salvation. Because salvation is the greatest gift of all. So you better hope that this didn't end with the early apostles, right? Because all the gifts had to end. But what the gift of the Holy Spirit does, listen to me, it sets you up to be used in all the gifts. It sets you up to be used in all the gifts. That's what's so neat about it, all right? Look at Acts 2:4. Look at this. I want you to notice this. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit began to speak through them. Let me read that again. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus began to speak through them. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit, and what did they do? What did they do? And they began to do what? They spoke. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people think, well, the Holy Spirit's just going to take over me and I'm going to speak. Wrong? Right? It's a process of faith. You speak out in faith. Amen? You speak out in faith. What do you speak? What God gives you. Amen? And I told Mike, I said, you're going to be praying in English, and I want you to pray in English for a little bit, and I want you to stop. Now I want you to start praying in the Spirit. And Mike starts praying in the Spirit. So this is what God has given us. Now this is so cool. Listen to this. Look at Romans 8:14. I want you to see this. For as many are led by the Spirit. How many desire to be led by the Spirit? Everybody in here desires to be led by the Spirit, right? For many are led by the Spirit of God. They are what? How many know that God leads us? God doesn't drive us. God doesn't push us. God leads us. Amen. I remember, and I'm not sure exactly when, but I know it was a child when Kay was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I believe Elise as well. But I remember those days. I remember walking back into children's church years ago, and I see our babies there, you know, just praying in the Spirit. It's the most beautiful, awesome thing. And when you're praying in the Spirit, man, you can do it anywhere at any time. Amen? When we're in church, we just don't all pray in tongues because Paul gave us instructions on that. He says it's better to prophesy when you're in church, right? So really, praying in the Spirit is your private prayer language. And you can do it anytime. Right? You can do it in the car. You can do it at work. You can do it anytime. You can pray in the Spirit. God desires us to be Spirit-filled, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are here this morning, you're a Christian, you already have the Spirit in you. It's already there, right? So, but he wants to baptize you in the Spirit. And he does that, amen? So where you're sitting, because the Bible says where they're sitting, we're gonna do this again this morning. Where you're sitting, I want you to raise your hands right now. Would you raise your hands up to the Lord, amen? And just begin to praise him where you are and just thank him right now. And just pray out in English and thank God for his goodness. Can you do that right now? Come on, everybody. Father, we just thank you right now for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for your cleansing power, that you've cleansed us, that you've forgiven us, God. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things you have for us, God. Thank you, Lord. This gift is for generations and generations and generations. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit living in us, dwelling within us today. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You've given us this gift, this marvelous gift to pray over our families, Lord, to pray in the Spirit. And Lord, this morning, as people are raising their hands right where they are, Lord, we thank you for just pouring out that gift upon them. Even while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit was poured out because faith was going forth. And God, we thank you for that right now. So if you haven't received the gift this morning, and I believe we're all believers here this morning, I don't believe there's any non-believers, but if you haven't received the gift, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Just begin to pray in tongues. Amen. It's not hard. It's not easy. You speak it in faith, praise God, and it's your prayer language. God gives it to you. It may not sound like everybody else, but it's what God gives you. Amen. And God desires that you pray in the Spirit and make that a regular part of your life and a regular part of your prayer life and a regular part of everything in your life. Amen. So right now, would you just pray in the Spirit? Just release it and say, I receive it. Come on, say it, Pastor. I receive the Holy Spirit today, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life in the name of Jesus. Amen. I receive it right now. Let's all stand this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Confess with Pastor this morning. Say, thank you, Lord. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am baptized in your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of tongues in my life. It is wonderful. It's a blessing from you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to receive it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you mind putting your hand on somebody in front of you, just laying your hand on their shoulder in front of you, and just pray for them a moment before we go today? Would you mind doing that? Crystal, if you could come out, and I don't believe Coach Bean's here today, but and just pray for some people. Just lay your hands on someone and just bless them. Can you do that? Come on, church. Just bless somebody right in front of you right now or beside you. Just lay your hands on them and bless them. Father, I call your people blessed. I call them just walking in your Spirit, God, walking in your peace, God, walking in your joy, walking in your love. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing this morning. Thank you for manifestation of your healing power today. God, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing among us right now. Lord, as people are being just ministered to, Lord, thank you for opening their hearts and just receiving your love today in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for that, God. Hallelujah. We receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. We receive your love. In Jesus' name, we minister, Lord, the love of God this morning to each and every one here. Thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We bless you right now. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn around to somebody and give them a hug. Tell them Jesus is good. Would you do that? Amen.